What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is 105.7 The Fan's Destination New Orleans.
Brought to you by Dash In.
All the news and insight from the playoff journey.
105.7 The Fan.
New Orleans, Super Bowl 59, I think. I lost track after Super Bowl 50, which, according to my math, was about 9 years ago. So, yes, we'll go with that one. Ravens trying to get back to New Orleans for the first time in 12 seasons. Buffalo hasn't been to a Super Bowl since those Marv Levy, Jim Kelly teams in the early 90s, and both still have to maybe go through. Kansas City, they got each other in each other's way. And here to talk about that, Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the Window Nation guest hotline from Fox 45 Sports Director. Let's welcome back. I haven't spoken to her in a long time. Morgan Atsett. Morgan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And happy new year for the last 5 years. How's that sound?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy new year's, plural.
Now, Allen, Lamar versus Allen, both in the same draft class. They played in a playoff game before. They played each other during the regular season, including this season. It's the big kind of buildup to the game itself. But outside of that big story, which cannot, it's the headline, you can't bury it. But what's the other story that, in your opinion, will actually decide the outcome of this game?
What will decide the outcome of the game, as far as, in my opinion, of on the field, is special teams, field placement, and the kicker that makes the kicks or the kicker that misses. I think it's going to be that kind of game. It's going to be cold. That's kind of been a glaring issue with the Ravens, special teams. I mean, how many times did you cringe during their punt returns against the Steelers? They even muffed a punt and recovered on the five, and Lamar and the offense took the drive 95 yards. So I think field position and kicking, which is shaky on Buffalo's side as well, could determine the outcome of this game. But big picture-wise, what also goes into this game that I think is a huge story element is just both teams needing to get over the playoff hump. And they're still not there yet. It's this game, next game. Then they're at that hump, and they're at the Super Bowl. But both of these franchises have won division titles, have reached this point, Buffalo more so hitting the roadblock in the divisional, but they have only been to the AFC Championship once with Lamar Jackson, once with Josh Allen, and they both have lost, and they both have lost to the Chiefs. It's just that kind of something's got to give, victim of your own success, but it adds to the hype of this game and how big it is for both teams.
Morgan, I would say one of the biggest things is who does better on first down. You know, I mean, especially with, you know, teams that want to run the ball, if you're second and 10, that makes things a lot more difficult. You know, and if you're third and 10, then Henry's off the field.
And that's what's taken the Ravens, you know, the Ravens always say the only teams that have beat us is ourselves. I mean, I think the first 2 weeks, the other teams beat them, even though they can say that they beat themselves. But I would agree with it in the sense that both teams, the goal is, you know, you're going to have to score. You know, you're going to have to produce on offense, and you want to keep the other offense off the field. And it's going to have that tight feel of, if one team goes up one score, even two scores, that the pressure's on the opposing team. And for the Ravens, what we've witnessed, if they have penalties, if they start third and long or have a third and long, like you mentioned, it takes their best element out of the game. When it's third and long, sure, you can give it to Derrick Henry and hope he busts loose for an 87-yard touchdown, but that's probably not the best football to play in that moment. And if you don't have Zay Flowers, which wasn't a huge issue last week against the Steelers, the Ravens' offense could be one-dimensional because the Steelers couldn't stop the run. I don't know if that's the same case in Buffalo. So that is also very, very good point, Vinny, and I'm with you on that.
You know what's crazy, Morgan, is, and I was just telling Bob off air that, you know, when they played in week four, the receivers only had six receptions. Tight ends had three. Running backs had nine receptions on nine targets in that game.
And the Bills' defense was missing three crucial players that are going to be playing this game. So I don't think it's going to be at all where we can look at that and look at that defense and think, oh, the Ravens are going to be able to run it all over the place and then not be able to use their passing game. And I really think Derrick Henry's first carry for 87 yards really shocked the Bills. And just the way that the Ravens' defense was playing, I think, shocked the Bills. And the Ravens' defense is extremely different as well. But I just think when you are playoff football, we're going to have to see balance. We're going to have to see a solid run game that's just grinding, not really breaking loose for big runs. And we're going to have to see defense. We're going to have to see a really good defense. At some point, playoff football and the way that you win during the playoffs is going to show up in this game. And I think that will also be a huge factor in it.
Yeah, Morgan, you know what? The biggest thing, and I can't wait, you know, to when the game starts to see what Buffalo is going to do to stop the run. You know, because they love to play nickel. And their linebackers, you know, are 220 pounds. The D-line is not big. And the Ravens can put seven 300-pounders on the field at the same time. So that is the biggest thing that I want to see is what is Buffalo going to do to stop the run on first and second down?
That's going to be huge. And the Ravens are going to be asking the same thing. And the other thing the Ravens could do to take themselves out of the game, which I don't think is going to happen, but we have seen it before, is overthink what you do best and what is working and take that out of the game plan. They need to do exactly what they did against the Steelers, right out of the gate, run, run, run. Maybe not so many with Lamar, where he takes a shot in the back, just let Derrick Henry do it, and use Justice Hill in the backfield and get the screen game going as well. But I think if you do that out of the gate, you control the game, and that's exactly what the Ravens want to do. Because on paper, as you're mentioning, the Ravens are better. Mm-hmm. The Ravens are a better offensive team. They're a better defensive team. This is a tough environment. This is a tough pressure situation as far as playoffs and legacies and how far can you go. Things like that are playing into it. The MVP whispers are also there. And you're on the road. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a really tough game. And it's cold. It's going to be really cold. That's a factor in all of these things.
As we stare at the snow outside here in Baltimore. Morgan Atts at Fox 45. Vinny and Haney 105.7. The Fan. Morgan, last thing for you. Carl Shepard's his crew, they get dopey, call a lot of penalties against the opposing team. And when the Ravens saw it against the Chargers a few weeks back when they called 12, his crew let things get physical in the defensive backfield. So we'll see who the advantage is there. But you mentioned something early in the first question of the segment here. Special teams. Justin Tucker seems to have stabilized since the bye. Tyler Bass, we remember he missed that field goal against Kansas City last year in the divisional round that sent them home. So Justin Tucker, is he back to being the dude? Because he really hasn't had to kick one with the game on the line since said bye.
We'll see, right? I mean, he's answered the call, but you just answered it right there. He really hasn't had that huge pressure. We need this. We must have this. Or else Josh Allen's going to get the ball and he's going to score a touchdown and we're down 10 now because now we're chasing three instead of getting seven. I think it's going to be a huge factor. I hope he's back. You would think he's back. You would think you could lean on everything that he's done and he's been in these situations. But he had the struggles last year from deep and then this year has been a struggle as well. So I think there's some truth to mental and also age. I mean, sadly, none of us get better when we get older.
Speak for yourself, Morgan. That's it over here. All right, who's putting stuff in the hefty bags on Monday morning, Buffalo or Baltimore?
I've been asked this question so many times, and I honestly am like the line. I flip back and forth. I think it's going to be a three-point game. I know Ravens fans are not going to want to hear this. I do think they are the better team, and they should win this game. And if they don't win this game, it's going to be we're going to be questioning a couple of things. It also could be a great game, a great team just lost, and a great team is moving on. But I am sadly picking the Bills. No! I just think Josh Allen does something to their secondary late in the game. If the Ravens score first, it's out the window. I think they're going to be looking at 21. I think they're going to be looking at 2 as well. I mean, why wouldn't you pick on a rookie in a playoff game? Why wouldn't you pick on Nate Wiggins? Why wouldn't you come Brandon Stevens' way? I do think that offense can just score so quickly. And the Ravens' pass defense, while improved, is still the, when you're listing the weakest links of this team, that's numero uno. So sadly, Ravens fans, I do think they're the better team, if that helps with my pick.
You've stressed that multiple times, but you're picking Buffalo.
I am. I just think there's something happening. I think they need it more. Don't you? Don't you think Josh Allen, the Bills, need it more?
No, not really. No. Ravens winning a Super Bowl would be pretty cool. Hey, last thing. You don't put ranch on buffalo wings by any chance, do you?
No, I'm a blue cheese gal.
There you go. Thank you very much. That's the main thing. You put ranch on a chicken wing, you have no soul or certainly taste buds. Morgan Adsit, Fox 45. Morgan, we appreciate it. Hope your pick is wrong, but it is what it is. That's why they play the games, of course.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Morgan. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the whip around. Tons going on in the world of sports. We'll address as much as we can. And then bottom of the hour, Vinny's film breakdown of the Buffalo offense. Week 4 versus this divisional round game. They're better. And he's going to explain why. And if you're just tuning in, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, Mr. Belvedere, passing away today at the age of 90. Rest in peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request, pause for text sign, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours or so. Tonight, college basketball, as you heard during the updates there, Terps taking on Northwestern there in Evanston, Maryland, 13-4, 3-3 in the league after winning 2 in a row against UCLA and Minnesota at home. Northwestern has lost 3 straight. They're 10-6, 1-4 in the league. They do own a win over Illinois earlier in the season. Nick Martinelli's their leading scorer, who killed Maryland last year. This Brooks Barnheiser, 6'6 point guard, averages 18 points, 9 boards, 4 assists. He's only scored 15 points, however, in his last 2 games against Michigan State this past Sunday, 2 for 13 from the field, 0 for 6 from beyond the arc. So you know what that means. He's due.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to control this guy. So we'll talk to the Wizard Walt Williams about that later on in the program. 12:30 to be exact. College hoops in the Big Ten last night. Men, speaking of Michigan State, they're on fire. Beat Penn State 90-85. Ace Baldwin, Baltimore for a Penn State at 20. Losing cause there. Purdue, number 17, beat Washington 69-58. That Washington loss still galls me for Maryland. That was brutal, Nolan.
Yeah, especially when you look at the standings.
I mean, but you didn't see the game. No. Me and Nolan watched that debacle, and it's like, all right, we'll win. We're going to win. We'll
win. Even as a road game, you know, and that's no easy feat to win on the road in the Big Ten, but they had that game. It should have been theirs, and it's going to be one of those when you look back on the season. I mean, hopefully it's not one that costs them in the long run. I don't think it would, but you probably look back and say, man, could have had one more win.
That sucked. Yeah. But if Derek Queen, Jacoby Gillespie combined for 5 points like they did that night, us three and two other people could probably beat Maryland. But moving on and upward, hopefully there. Top 25, there was a top 10 matchup. Iowa State ranked number two. Kind of thumped Kansas 74-57. As they're 15-1. They have all five starters averaging double figures.
Yep.
And they have another guy that's right there at the cusp of 9.8. They're 85 a game. They're high octane. They're really good. Olton Schmackman from UNLV, he's a stud, and they're stud Lee. So you look at the football team kind of had a bump in the road this year.
They played in the championship game for the Big 12.
Oh, that's right. They got housed by Arizona State.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of Boone Pickens all of a sudden. Yeah, they were really good, and the coach as well sought after.
He's interviewing with the Bears.
And then Iowa State. So who's the money man there in Ames?
It used to be Ruan, you know, Ruan Trucking.
Okay.
But I don't know who that was always the guy. John Ruan was the guy when I was playing. But I mean, Bob, watching Iowa State last night, I mean, to be totally honest, first time I ever watched
athletic
a whole game.
Is all hell.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Phenomenal athleticism, man. I mean, that one guard, I mean, he can go through any.
Yeah, Jones, he was banging 40-footers.
Like, I'm trying to compare him to, like, when I watched, you know, Maryland compared to them, and it's kind of athletically, it's night and day.
There was an upset top 25 last night. UNLV beat Utah State 65-62. Utah State, the Aggies, ranked number 22. Nolan, trivia question for nothing. Who's Utah State's leading scorer?
Oh, Bob Smith. I don't know.
Ian Martinez.
Oh.
A former Maryland Terrapin. Give me 10
push-ups.
Well,
now I am embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be. Locally here, Colgate beat Navy 73-66. In the NBA last night, it was Toronto 110-97 over Boston, minus Emmanuel Quickley, still dealing with a hip.
Jeez.
But R.J. Barrett, 22-10-8 there. Atlanta beat Chicago 110-94. Keaton Wallace, kind of an nondescript, but an unsung dude. He had 27 for the Hawks. Sticks, Jalen Smith had 5 points, four boards. Maryland, Baltimore, Mount St. Joe for the Bulls. They stink. They're six games under 500. I mean, they'll be trading off, and I don't know if Sticks is going, but certainly the dunk guy. Zach LaVine could be gone. Patrick Williams maybe could be on the move. But underachievers there. But how about San Antonio? Taking on Memphis, 129-115. Now, Ja Morant dunked on Wemby. The whistle had blown. And Wemby kind of, he did leap, but he didn't go full on try to rim protect. So it wasn't a real dunk, and it probably will be on a poster. But there's this old highlight of George Gervin finger rolling against the Lakers, and the whistle had blown. So he did it after the whistle. I mean, you can put it in any context you want. Bottom line is Memphis won 129-115. Ja Morant had 21-4-12 in that one. But a Loyola Greyhound. You wouldn't think it, but a Loyola Greyhound had a pretty big night for the Grizz.
Spurs 12-8 here on the home floor. San Antonio turns it over. Grizzlies a break opportunity. Morant lobs for Aldama.
Dropping it home with the hammer. Valley Sports on the call. Santi Aldama. That's right. Loyola Greyhounds. That Loyola, the one in Baltimore, Evergreen. Jimmy Patsos is old school. 20 points, 10 boards coming back from a sprained ankle and playing well. Houston won 28-108 over Denver. Jalen Green at 34 for the Rockets, who are the second best team right now in the West. And Cam Whitmore, Baltimore's own, Villanova. He had 16-9 for Houston. No Joker, though, for the Denver Nuggets. Lakers beat Miami 117-108. Rui Hachimura, 23-8 for the Lakers. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore, Archbishop Curley, 12 points, 3 boards, and an assist for the Miami Heat. College football playoffs, Monday night championship game, 7:30 in Atlanta. Ohio State and Notre Dame. Buckeyes, Vinny, still hanging tight at 8. 8-point spread there.
Bob, I saw something like the Notre Dame seniors, the highest draft pick would be like a late one, and then they have another guy who's a second, but otherwise they got a lot of fourth rounders and undrafted guys compared to Ohio State, who's got a bunch of first and second round. Ohio State's a better team, period. You know, does Ohio State beat themselves? We'll see.
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, and Nolan McGraw. It's the whip around here on this January 16th. This day in sports history, a couple of tidbits for you. 1975, Maryland men basketball. 50 years ago today, unbelievable. Cole Fieldhouse, fifth-ranked Maryland, taking on fourth-ranked and defending national champ NC State. Terps blow them out, 103-85. John Lucas had 30. Mo Howard, 18. Owen Brown, rest in peace, had 17. Freshman Brad Davis, who has his number hanging in the rafters at Dallas's arena, he had 15. David Thompson, remember him? He had 33. Yeah. One of the great college players of all time. Look it up. Learn something. 1980, Cole Fieldhouse. Maryland beat 17th-ranked Clemson, 84-83. Albert King, he had 26. Ernie Graham and Greg Manning each had 19 as the Terps get a big win there on their way to the ACC regular season championship. And Rashawn, if you're listening, that's turning somebody's gas and electric off on this cold day, January 1972 in New Orleans, Tulane Stadium, because the Superdome wasn't around yet. Super Bowl VI, Dallas Cowboys, 24-3 over the Dolphins. Roger Staubach was MVP. Dwayne Thomas probably should have won it because he had over 100 yards, but he was salty with the media. And Dwayne Thomas just passed away not too long ago. Rest in peace there. Dallas wins. They finally get through because they were known for choking. They had lost to the Colts the year before in the Super Bowl. Ray Scott, Pat Summerall on the call. The national anthem was the Air Force marching band. Halftime, tribute to Louis Armstrong. Satchmo had just passed away not too long before that. Ella Fitzgerald, Carol Channing. If you're a fan of Family Guy, she beat Mike Tyson in a celebrity boxing match. I suggest you look that up. And Al Hurt. So this is the sixth Super Bowl, and Al Hurt performed at halftime of three of them.
Jesus.
With all due respect to Al Hurt, by the way, and the U.S. Marine Corps drill team. The rating, 44.2. Nielsen rating, a combined 57 million. Watch that game.
How many watch it now? Over 100 mil?
Yeah, and that's when the Super Bowl was played at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, by the way. It wasn't in prime time. It was literally in the afternoon. You'd see, because you watch that game on YouTube, it'd be like, hey, coming up after Super Bowl VI, it's the Bing Crosby Open. Live from Pebble Beach. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens are at Buffalo. Divisional round of the playoffs. Whose legacy is on the line? If it's fair to even get to that point with two guys who have been to the playoffs but still haven't made the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Vinny's going to break down that Buffalo offense, how it's different now than it was back in September when they only scored 10 against Baltimore.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Ravens taking on the Bills Sunday. As you're all well aware of, Ravens are favored in this game. First game between the two teams, Buffalo only put 10 points on the board, but they are one of the more prolific offenses in the National Football League. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, how have they changed? Let's break down that offense film study-wise with Vinny Serrato.
Yeah, let's take a look at Buffalo back to week four. I mean, the Ravens were, you know, when you go 87 yards on the first play of the game, they were kind of behind the eight ball from the get-go. And Josh Allen did not have a good game. He was 16 of 29 for 180, and they rushed it 23 times for 81 yards. So they were and lost 35-10. So they were manhandled in that game, and they couldn't control the run. But offensively, when you look at them now, because in that game Kincaid was their leading receiver, the tight end, with 5 for 47, had a long of 25. Shakir, he had 4 for 62. He had the 152-yarder that Josh Allen makes the great scramble play. Coleman had 3 for 51. Other than that, they really didn't have, you know, Knox, the other tight end, had no catches. So they're better now than they were then, receiver. I mean, Shakir, he's one of the best yak guys in the league, over like close to 600 yards. So he's really good. And he lines up in a slot all the time. And what did the Ravens do last time? Put Marlon Humphrey on him. And Marlon did a hell of a job on him because he had 4 for 62. But
Allen made that crazy play on the sideline.
Yeah, but the one, otherwise he has 3 for 10 if it wasn't for the one, you know, 62-yarder. So receiver-wise, they're better. And you know, Amari Cooper is added onto that group now. And Cooper, he really hadn't done a lot. You know, he doesn't run real well, but he's a good route runner. And the thing with Keon Coleman's not a good route runner, you know, and he's got a little decent speed.
Big dude, too, right?
Big guy. You know, and Mac Hollins, he had one catch for 5 yards last time, but he's made some plays for them down the field. And Curtis Samuel also, he had 2 for 8 the last time they played. Now, their offensive line, you know, Roquan says they're better. I mean, what's he going to say? They suck? You know?
maybe.
Vannoy and Oway, between the two of them in week 4, 3 sacks. And even Ajabo had a quarterback hit, and they had a couple of other quarterback hits. Their left tackle, Deion Dawkins, even in this last game against Denver, he gives up the ball. You can drive him back to the quarterback. And I think Vannoy, and that's the nice thing about playing them in week 4. Vannoy and Oway, they know these guys. And they've gotten pressure. They've gotten sacks before on these guys this year. So I think Spencer Brown, the right tackle, and Deion Dawkins, they're going to be nervous about the Ravens' pass rushers. Now, David Edwards, the left guard, 76. And Osiris Torrance, the right guard, I think they're going to struggle big time versus Matabike. I think Matabike is going to cause him a lot of problems, especially the left guard, Edwards. I think Matabike is quicker because the two guards are not that athletic and they don't change direction that well. And Travis Jones, he wore them out in week 4. He wore out the center and the right guard. And I expect him to do the same. He's bigger, quicker, faster. So I expect them to have some trouble with them. Now, the biggest thing with the so the O-line, decent. They're not a knock you off the ball in the run game. They kind of ooze off the ball a little bit. You know, they have a fullback, Reggie Williams. They play with a fullback, too.
Reggie Gilliam, sorry.
Yeah, but they'll play with a fullback in the run game on ISOs and stuff like that. And Cook's a hell of a back, I think. I think he looks better last week than he did week 4. I mean, he's got bursts, he got explosives, got speed to the outside. So he's going to be a concern. He didn't. He had 9 carries for 39 yards last time they played. But the Ravens' offense took him out of the game, is what they did. So can they do that again? I think they're going to try to feature him. They're going to try to run the football. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Excellent, excellent player. Their tight ends, Knox and Kincaid, both, you know, are they as good as the Ravens guys? No, but they're really smart, and they know how to get open. That's the thing with them. Are they burners? No, but they make plays. They make plays. Kincaid had 5 for 47 last time they played, and they both were instrumental last week in that game. So he likes to throw to the tight ends. And he likes to get, Josh Allen, likes to get the ball out quickly, is what he likes to do. They took at least 5 shots in week 4 on Brandon Stevens. They took 5 shots deep. And they, I think they completed three. Like, all their long catches, 24, 25, were on, you know, Stevens. So Stevens is going to be tested a bunch in this game. Now, Josh Allen in week four, he didn't run it all that much. He's going to carry the ball. Last week, carried the ball a bunch. And, I mean, quarterback runs and quarterback draws, all those types of things, he is going to run the football. Why? Because they got to win. And he wants to win, and he'll do those types of things. He likes to use his legs, and he likes to run over people. He's not a, you know, guy that normally slides. And their quarterback sneaks, Bob. He's outstanding. As good as Philly is at theirs, he's good. If it's short yardage, he's going to get that first down because he is a big man, and he's got a knack. He's got a knack for it. So with their offense, number one is, and one of the biggest things is Josh Allen loves to scramble to the right. Any big play that he's made, scramble right. So Van Noy, and the Ravens have done a decent job, like on the boot and stuff, especially in week four. You know, when they boot, covering the tight end and doing those kind of things, they did a good job with that. They were disciplined, and they got to be disciplined again. But they like to throw short. They're not a big deep down the field, but because of Stevens, they're going to take some shots. But they want to throw it quick. They want to get the ball. They'll throw a quick screen to Shakir. Mm-hmm. And you better be able to tackle him because he's a good yak guy. They'll throw a quick screen to the running back. And Josh Allen, Van Noy, especially Van Noy, keep him inside. Inside. He wants to go right. I very rarely see him scrambling left because it's hard if you're a right-handed thrower. I mean, the big play he made against the Ravens, scrambling right, throws it down the field. So that is a big thing. So offensively, are they better? Yeah, if Josh Allen plays, he didn't play great against the Ravens. If he has a great game, yeah, the offense is going to be better. If he doesn't, no, the offense isn't.
5880-1057, the fan will come back, reset, take a phone call, visit Nolan's Funhouse, if time permits. Ravens game day threads, according to them, all white, Nolan, dressed like your favorite team, and a former Raven made the College Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk about him next here on The Fan.